By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Good morning to the viewers of Rise and Shine. Inshallah, today we will have another unique topic which we will discuss. And inshallah, in today's topic, we'll discuss a lot of details regarding the hereafter. How, as Muslims, how we should contemplate about the hereafter. But like usual, let's start the show by listening to a blessing of reciting salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala an, has said, "Inna du'a موقوف بين السماء والأرض لا يسعد منه شيء حتى تصلي على نبيك." That supplications remain موقوف, remain suspended between the skies and the earth, and nothing from it ascends until you recite salawat upon your beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. From this hadith, we understand that when we make a dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should recite salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, by the blessing of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, all our duas will be accepted. So keep this habit. Whenever you make dua, keep your tongues moist by reciting salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll go to the first segment of the show, which is the tilawat of the Quran. Inshallah, today we will start Surah Al-Qamar, and inshallah we'll go through the first 16 ayahs, and then after that inshallah we'll come back and inshallah go through the English translation of these verses. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر.
پاس آئی قیامت اور شک ہو گیا چاند.
وَإِن يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌّ.
اور اگر دیکھیں کوئی نشانی تو منہ پھیرتے اور کہتے ہیں یہ تو جادو ہے چلا آتا.
وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٌ.
اور انہوں نے جھٹلایا اور اپنی خواہشوں کے پیچھے ہوئے اور ہر کام قرار پا چکا ہے.
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ.
اور بے شک ان کے پاس وہ خبریں آئیں جن میں کافی روک تھی.
حکمت بالغۃ فما تغنی النذر.
انتہا کو پہنچی ہوئی حکمت, پھر کیا کام دیں ڈر سنانے والے.
فتول عنہم یوم یدعو الداعی الی شیء نکر.
تو تم ان سے منہ پھیر لو جس دن بلانے والا ایک سخت بے پہچانی بات کی طرف بلائے گا.
خش عن ابصارهم يخرجون من الاجداث كأنهم جراد منتشر.
نیچی آنکھیں کیے ہوئے قبروں سے نکلیں گے گویا وہ ٹیڑی یعنی ٹڈی ہیں پھیلی ہوئی.
مهطعين الى الداع يقول الكافرون هذا يوم عسر.
بلانے والے کی طرف لپکتے ہوئے کافر کہیں گے یہ دن سخت ہے.
كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وازدجر.
ان سے پہلے نوح کی قوم نے جھٹلایا تو ہمارے بندے کو جھوٹا بتایا اور بولے وہ مجنون ہے اور اسے جھڑکا.
فدعا ربه انی مغلوب فانتصر.
تو اس نے اپنے رب سے دعا کی کہ میں مغلوب ہوں تو میرا بدلہ لے.
ففتحنا ابواب السماء بماء منہمر.
تو ہم نے آسمان کے دروازے کھول دیے زور کے بہتے پانی سے.
وفجرنا الارض عيونا فالتقى الماء على امر قد قدر.
اور زمین چشمے کر کے بہا دی تو دونوں پانی مل گئے اس مقدار پر جو مقدر تھی.
وحملناه على ذات الواح ودسر.
اور ہم نے نوح کو سوار کیا تختوں اور کیلوں والی پر.
تجری بأعیننا جزاء لمن كان کفر.
کہ ہماری نگاہ کے رو برو بہتی اس کے سلے میں جس کے ساتھ کفر کیا گیا تھا.
وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَاهَا آیَةً فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِر.
اور ہم نے اسے نشانی چھوڑا تو ہے کوئی دھیان کرنے والا.
فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذُرِ.
تو کیسا ہوا میرا عذاب اور میری دھمکیاں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That was the recitation of Surah Al-Qamar. Inshallah, before we go through the translation of these first 16 verses, let's understand the background regarding the surah. So the surah, apart from the first Sayyuhzamul Jam'u, apart from this verse, the remaining verses were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarrama. The surah, it consists of 3 rukus and 55 ayahs. And the reason why this surah is known as Qamar, because in Arabic language, Qamar, translation of Qamar, is the moon. So the first verse which in this holy in this chapter of the Holy Quran, this word Qamar is used. That is the reason why this is known as Surah Al-Qamar. So inshallah, now we will go through the first 16 verses of this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Verse number 1. The hour drew near and the moon was split. Verse number 2. And if they see a sign, they turn away and they say, this is lasting sorcery. Verse number 3. And they denied and they follow their desires and every matter has been established. Verse number 4. And indeed, accounts have come to them in which there is admonition. Verse number 5. The Quran is complete wisdom, yet warnings do not benefit them. Verse number 6. So turn away from them. The day a caller will call towards a severe unknown thing. Verse number 7. So with their downcast eyes, they will come forth from their graves like they are scattered locusts. Verse number 8. Hastening towards the caller, the disbelievers will say, this is a severe day. Verse number 9. The nation of Nuh denied before them, so they denied our chosen one and said, he is insane. And he, Nuh, was scolded by them. Verse number 10. So he prayed to his Lord, indeed, I am overwhelmed, so avenge me. Verse number 11. So we opened the doors of the sky with a torrential downpour. Verse number 12. And we transformed the earth into overflowing springs, so the water reached the amount which had been predestined. Verse number 13. And we carried him upon a thing made of planks and nails, and the ark. Verse number 14. floating before our sight as reward for the one who is denied. Verse 15. And we left it as a sign. So is there anyone who may attain advice? Verse number 16. So how was my punishment and my warnings? فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُذَرِ. So how was my punishment and my warnings? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. This is was the first 16 verses of Surah Al-Qamar. And there's a request to recite the Quran with its translation, a commentary, so we get a better understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And these stories of previous nations, these stories are there for us to take lessons. The previous nations were committing sins, they were not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished these nations. From these, we could take lessons. Are we committing the sins that they were committing? Are we still falling into the sins which led to their punishment? The answer is yes. We need to start refraining from it. And the answer is no. We're not committing those sins. But we are committing other sins. We still need to prevent ourselves from them. So the Holy Quran was revealed 1400 years ago. But yet, we can still take lessons from this message of the Holy Quran. So the request that try and recite the Quran every day. Recite at least one ruku of the Quran and recite it with the translation and commentary. And inshallah, you'll see the benefits which you will get. So inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show. Inshallah, we'll hear the blessed Qasida Burda. Inshallah, when you come back, we'll start the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa sallam.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Oh my master, descend peace and blessings countlessly, eternally, upon your beloved, the best of creation.
Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini. Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini wal Fari. Qaini min Urubi wa min Ajami.
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
And even both groups, Arabs and Ajams.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
He is the beloved whose intercession. salvation is hoped for in every sudden calamity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika بك خير الخلق كلهم.
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به. يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العملي.
اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ. اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ. حادثات عام میں ہے آپ میری تکیہ گاہ. آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge in other than you and universal calamities descend.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها. فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم.
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم. بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم. آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم. آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace.
And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا. يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم.
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ. اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ. پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ. آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
O my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. O my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes.
And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما
أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Today's topic which we will discuss is regarding the contemplation of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that indeed the ear, the eye, and the heart, all of these, mas'ula, all of these will be questioned. Allahu Akbar. This is what will happen on the Day of Judgment. That we will be questioned regarding what our bodily limbs did. Not just our limbs, including our heart as well. The questions will be asked and be very severe on the Day of Judgment. Ask yourselves, we as Muslims, and we know there's five pillars of Islam, there's also pillars of faith as well. That we have to believe in Allah, and believe in the angels, the messengers, the book. Good and bad destinies from Allah. We have to believe in that the resurrection after death, the Day of Judgment. We know all this. Ask yourself, when's the last time I actually sat down and contemplated and thought about the hereafter? When's the last time I sat down and I cried in the court of Allah? When's the last time I sat down and I asked myself that, what am I doing in this world? Am I prepared myself for the hereafter? Have I got myself ready for the grave? Have I got myself ready for the Day of Judgment? These are questions that we should ask ourselves on a daily basis at night. What have I done in today? What acts have I done? Have I pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today? Or have I displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today? As Muslims, we cannot let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be unhappy with us. We have to constantly please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to constantly obey the commandments set out and the laws set out by Allah Almighty. We have to follow the commandments set out by Allah, the ones that He has given to His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instructed and informed us. These are questions that we need to ask daily to ourselves. And there's a beautiful incident, a beautiful story, which I would like to mention and start the show off with regarding the thinking of an individual. Once there was an individual, he states that I traveled to Basra to meet one of my pious and devout friends. When I reached his house, I saw that he was in a very delicate situation, and due to the severity of his illness, he was close to his death. So just imagine this. You've gone to meet your friend and he's on his deathbed. His children, his wife, his parents stood around him crying, and their faces were covered with despair. I gave him salam and asked, what are you feeling at this moment of time? Allahu Akbar. So what is your feeling at this moment of time? Listen to this, my friend. He said that at this moment in time, I am feeling as if ants are wandering inside my body. Meanwhile, his father began to cry. Imagine that his children, his parents, everyone's there, his wife, they're all crying. And this individual on his deathbed, he asked his father that, oh my kind father, what is the reason, why are you crying? The father replies, he goes, my beloved child, the sorrow of being separated from you is making me cry. What will happen to us after you die? Then his mother's children and wife also began to cry. My friend asked his mother, oh my kind mother, why are you crying? The mother replied, my beloved child, the sorrow of being separated from you is also making me cry. How will I live without you? He then asked his wife, what has forced you to cry? She replied, my dear husband, our life would be difficult without you. The sorrow of being separated from you is causing a wound in my heart. He then called his children and asked, my children, what has made you cry? The children replied, after you die, We'll become orphans. We'll be deprived of a loving father. What will happen to us after you die? The sorrow of being departed from you, being separated from you, has made us, is making us cry. After listening to everyone, my friend, this individual, he made everyone sit. And he told everyone to make him sit up as well. When he was made to sit, he said to his family members, "Well, look at this thought. Look at this thinking of this individual, this pious individual. That all of you are crying for this world. You're not crying for me. But you're crying because of the fear of losing your own benefits. I'm your father, you're going to lose a father. You're going to lose some income in the house. As a husband, you're losing my company. As parents, you're losing your child. You're just crying because of a worldly loss. Is there anyone from you that has cried over the fact that after death, what will be my condition? Soon, I'll be left in a dark and frightening grave. Did any one of you cry over the fact that I will face the Munkar and Nakir? Did anyone from you cry over the fact that I will have to appear in the blessed court of my Creator Azza wa Jal for my accountability? No one from you ever cried over the difficulties I will face in the afterlife. But rather, you're all crying because of your own worldly benefits." He then let out a scream and passed away. Allahu Akbar. Look at this pious man of Allah. Look at how his thinking and thought was. That why are you crying? Because you're crying because you're gonna lose a loved one? Have you ever cried? Are you crying because you're thinking how will I face the test of the grave? How will I face my Rabb? How will I face the Munkar and Nakir? Have you thought about this? And we should truly ponder over the fact that we are easy, we cry easily due to losing the benefits of this world. But have we ever cried over the fact that we may be deprived from heaven due to our bad deeds and be made to enter the hellfire? Have we ever thought this? Have you ever thought that, "Ya Allah, I've lost this certain amount of money, I've lost this certain item." We become sad. Have you ever been sad and been upset that, "Ya Allah, what if I'm deprived from the fragrant breeze of paradise? What if I'm deprived to even smell the fragrance of paradise? What if I'm deprived to even enter paradise?" Allah. We try our utmost to gain the blessing of this world. Have we ever tried our utmost to gain the blessings of heaven by going against our desires and doing good deeds? If someone takes our test in this dunya, we begin to sweat. Even though we might know the answers, we still forget due to the pressure. We'll spend all day, all night preparing for these tests of this dunya. We'll wake up all night, drink coffee, caffeine, drink some energy drinks to stay up all night so we can prepare for this test of the dunya. Whether that be the test of your darsi kutub, your darsi studies, your darsi nizami, whether that be the test of the worldly sciences. Everyone comes under this category. Whether you study Islamic studies or you study worldly sciences, when our test is approaching, we spend all night preparing for this test. We will know the answers for this test, but when the test comes, we'll fall, we'll just crumble because of the pressure. But I could tell you a test which is unique. A test which we all are aware of. A test which we all need to prepare for. A test, which is not a test like the test of this dunya. When you prepare yourself for the test of this dunya, and individually we don't know the questions. Any random question based on that topic can appear on the test. So we have to prepare considering what questions can arrive. Guessing, guesstimate, doing a guess, guessing what question will arrive. But there's one unique test. One test which we do not even have to guess the questions. We know the questions of that test. What is this test? This is the test of the grave. Have you stayed up all night preparing for this test of the grave? Have you deprived yourself from sleep just so you could prepare for this test of the grave? We know the question of the grave. Man Rabbuka, who is he Lord? Ma Deenuka, what is the religion? Three questions of the grave which will be questioned. Every person will be questioned in the grave by the Munkar and Nakir, the angels of the question of the grave. Are we prepared for this test? Are we lost and busy ourselves in this dunya so much that we forgot our reality? We forgot the haqiqah. We forgot reality that we will die one day. No matter you're a Muslim, you're a non-believer, no matter what faith you follow in this world, everyone accepts that death is a reality. Different people may have different concepts of death, but everyone agrees, everyone agrees that everyone will face death. Every soul shall taste death. Every soul shall taste death. No matter if you are a millionaire, you live in the biggest palace in this dunya, you're the king. Or on the other hand, you live somewhere, you live in a third world country where you have no clean water, no food to have. You don't have a shelter to live under. No matter which life you are, whether you're upper class, middle class, lower class, whichever lifestyle you are living in, everyone at the end will be wrapped in three cloths, a shroud, a white shroud a person will be wrapped around. Regardless of your wealth, you will be still treated the same as a person who is poor. Ask yourselves, why are we busy ourselves in this dunya? Why are we here? Why was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was the reason for us to be created? I remember, it just was a test of the grave. Even on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment, we will be held accountable for every limb of our body from which people commit bad deeds. For example, the eyes will be held accountable. We'll be held accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us that, did you commit any, look at any forbidden things with the eyes? The eyes, they unlawfully gaze at others. They watch films, dramas. They get pleasure from looking at shameless scenes. Similarly, the ears of lots of people are busy listening to haram, like listening to songs at night, listening to useless and shameless jokes, listening to backbiting, tail-bearing, and to people talking about other people's faults. Similarly, some people's hearts are used to being filled with bad thoughts, malice, hatred, jealousy. Therefore, the successful and sensible is that person who's successful in keeping his limbs far from sins due to the fear of the hereafter. And the verse which I mentioned at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed the ear, the eye, the heart, all of these will be questioned. And in the Sir Qurtubi, it is said that there will be accountability for what every limb was used for. Therefore, the heart will be asked that through its means, what thoughts were made. Whereas the eyes and ears will be asked that through their means, what things were seen and heard. And Allama Sayyid Mahmood Alusi Baghdadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states that this verse proves that a person will be held accountable even for the actions of the heart. For example, making a firm intention of committing a sin, or heart being indulged in various spiritual diseases like malice, jealousy, and thinking you are better than others. I mean, ego. Scholars have further explained that a person will not be held accountable for just thinking or committing a sin unless he makes a strong, firm intention of committing it. Even the heart of a person will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. That your heart, what thoughts were in your heart? Did you have an intention to commit bad sins? Did you have an intention to commit bad deeds? These will all be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Allah. And Mufti Ahmad Yarhan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he said that there'll be accountability for bad intentions and bad beliefs. But the whispers that come into the heart uncontrollably are forgiven. Sometimes whispers may come into your heart, but these are forgiven. Unless you make a firm intention upon the bad thoughts and imaginations. And these internal, external limbs will be asked on the Day of Judgment that did you perform any wrongful acts? Therefore, perform rightful acts with these limbs. These questions will not be asked for Allah's knowledge, but for the criminal to confess his crime. So, on the Day of Judgment, when the question will be asked, the question not asked just so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we are doing. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all knowing, all aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our conditions. He knows what we have done in this world. But why is this question asked? This question asked so that the sinner, so the criminal can confess his own crimes and sins. That on the Day of Judgment he may deny that he did this act, then the bodily limbs will start speaking and giving evidence against him. Ask yourselves, are we prepared for that day? That Day of Judgment, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned and described in various places in the Holy Quran. That day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described that day, like in this world, who's our beloveds? As an individual, who do we go to? When you're in trouble, we'll go to our mother, our father, our brother, our sister, our children, our wife, she'll be there for support. But the Day of Judgment, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, is something which is a reality, something which as a believer, as a Muslim, we need to prepare for. That day in which it is said that the ground will be made out of copper. The ground on the Day of Judgment will be made out of copper. And the heat on that day will be so much that people will be drowning in their sweat. People will face on the Day of Judgment that everyone will be concerned about themselves on the Day of Judgment. And we need to prepare for the heat after. And we need to question ourselves, whatever we do in a daily life, we do an act, we wake up in the morning, make intention that today I'll read my namaz. Today I will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're about to do an act. Ask yourselves, is this bringing the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is this bringing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is this displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ask yourself these questions daily. Inshallah, now we'll move on to the daily reminder. And when you come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the rest of the topic of today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
On the Day of Qiyamah, very difficult situation. And as people who followed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam during our lives in this world, we would love to know, is there any thing that will happen to us? Is there any thing that will make the Day of Qiyamah easy for us? A mother will be running away from Hey children, father will be running away from sons and sons will be running away from the father. Nafsi, nafsi type of a situation. What will be the situation of the ummah on that particular day? Human beings will be drowning in their own sweats as per their deeds and amals and actions. What will be the success of Muslims? What will be the success of Ashiqani Rasul and the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on that particular day? My dear respected Madani channel viewers, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has beautifully mentioned that that person who has sent most salawat and durood and salam upon me during his life in this world will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the ability to gain the companionship of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Everything in life has a purpose. Everything in life has a certain purpose and goal. And thus, for example, the clothes that we have, there's a purpose for that. The clothes that protect us from heat and cold. Like this, the pen that we use, it has a purpose that we use it to write. Like this, the house we live in, that's a purpose. It gives us shelter, protects us from the bad weather, protects us from the cold and rain and different seasonal weathers. The watch around our wrists tells us the time, the phone that we have, that has a purpose, allows us to communicate with individuals. The tablet that we have allows us to read and download books, etc. Like this, a car, it has a purpose that it takes from A to B. A plane allows us to travel abroad to different countries. Like this, everything has a purpose in the universe. The moon has a purpose in the universe. The sun has a purpose in the universe. The sun was created to bring daylight. The moon gives us one purpose of the moon. It allows us to the lunar calendar. The Islamic calendar goes according to the moon sign. So everything in the universe has purpose. The trees have a purpose. Plants have a purpose. It gives us oxygen, which allows us to breathe in oxygen, which we need in our blood system. And another thing that trees and plants have, that they intake carbon dioxide, something that we exhale, they will intake something which is not good for us. The plants, they will take the carbon dioxide, the CO2. Like this, water has a purpose that allows us to quench our thirst. Food has purpose, allows us to fulfill our hunger. Like this, my dear viewers of Rise and Shine, if you think everything and acknowledge everything in this universe has a purpose, then that as human beings, we have a purpose as well. That we were born for a purpose. And as humans, we were not created useless in this life. We were created for a purpose and reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. So do you think that we have created you in vain and that you are not to return to us? In another verse, in Surah Az-Zariyat, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I've created jinns and human beings only for this, that they should worship me. Allahu Akbar. This is the purpose of humans, mankind, that we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were not created for any other reason and purpose. We were only created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We busy ourselves in useless games, useless activities in this world. We are negligent. We forget insan, comes out of our nisyan, forgetful. We are those individuals, we are those people that we easily forget things. And there are different realms. This is the realm of the universe. This is the world of the dunya. There's realm, there's the universe, there's the world of the hereafter. And there was a realm of the souls. Around 50,000 years before the earth was created, the realms of the souls, where all the souls were there. And we made a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we were created, we forgot that promise that we made with Allah Almighty. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us here. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that you were created. Why the jinn and insan, they were not created except to worship me. And as Muslims, that's what we need to do. We need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly. And you can get different forms of worship. You may ask yourself that, I need to work, I need to go to school, I need to study, how can I just constantly always worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. You going out for a job, you going out to pursue a halal income, that's a form of worship. You go in college with good intentions that I am going studying this certain field, certain science, so that I can use this science and get into this profession so that I can propagate the message of Islam, that is a form of worship. You be at school, you a taxi driver, you're a bus driver. There you're reading, whilst driving, you're constantly reading the Durood Sharif. That is a form of worship. So whatever way you, whatever you're doing in this world, whatever you're busy yourself, you can always be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no doubt that this world is a cultivated land for the hereafter. The actions performed in this world will be of utmost importance in the hereafter. To make the hereafter better, it is essential to do good deeds. When you put our main purpose, i.e. to worship our Creator Azza wa Jalla, in sight, it then becomes easier to make our hereafter better. Just ponder. When the time for exams come in madaris, universities, we all prepare ourselves. Like I mentioned, we all drink energy drinks, drink caffeine. And we all spend all night to prepare for this exam of this world. But when it comes to the exam the hereafter, do we prepare ourselves? Do we put as much emphasis for the exams of the hereafter? Are we ever seen restless because of preparing for the exams of the hereafter? I remember that where ignorance brings about lots of problems or troubles, it also takes a person away from contemplating about the hereafter. The life that has been spent in negligence destroys a person completely. Our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, had the mindset that now even one single moment of their life should be spent in negligence. Rather, every single second of their life should be spent in good deeds and doing acts for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As well as living a good life and performing good acts, they would still remain frightened that perhaps the acts may be seen as performed in negligence. Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala states that Shaykh Abu Ali Daqqaq rahmatullahi ta'ala said that I came to inquire after the health of a pious person. I saw that his students were sitting around him and he was crying. I asked, "Oh Shaykh, are you crying because of departing from this world?" He replied, "No, I'm crying because my salahs have been missed." Allahu Akbar. I then said, "But you are an ardent worshipper. How have you missed your salahs?" He replied, "My every sajda was done in negligence. Whenever I raised my head from sajda, I did so in negligence. And now I am dying in negligence." Allahu Akbar. Look, you have heard how the pious people of Allah would spend every moment in the remembrance of Allah. And although they're busy thinking about the hereafter all the time, despite all this, they would still think that worship performed by them lacks spiritual perfection. They would tremble with divine fear and would cry. The condition of negligent people is that firstly, they do not even perform good deeds, and even if they have performed an act of good deed, they then remain restless until they make it public. That's what we do. Look at the pious people, they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still think that that's not acceptable. We do one act. We've read Fajr for after a long time, we have to tell people, yeah, today I read Fajr. We go out and give charity in the way of Allah. We have to make a film or put it on social media. We do certain things. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain ways. Yet, we still have to go out our way and show it to people. We have to, don't know whether it's accepted or not, we do a hajj. We will tell people, yes, I've done hajj. We have to put in our name, hajjis, fulan, fulan. And then if you do more than one, many hajjs, al-hajj. Allahu Akbar. Why? What's with the titles? Why do we have to show people what we do? Why don't you just keep it between you and Allah Almighty? And look how these people, the pious people of Allah, how they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. But pray so much, tahajjud salahs. Yet at the time of death, they still used to think that these salahs were not accepted. Hazrat Shaqiq Balakhi, rahmatullahi, states that people speak of three things from their tongues, but their actions do otherwise. They say, we are the bondmen of Allah, but they do not perform actions like bondmen. Rather, they perform actions as they are, if they are free. They say Allah is the one who provides us with sustenance, but until they gather the things within this world, their hearts are not satisfied. And this is totally contrary to their statement. And number three, they say eventually we will die, but they perform such actions as if they will never die. Allahu Akbar. These are three habits. And ask yourselves, are these three habits within ourselves as well? Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next section, segment of the show, which is the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humans and He divided them into males and females. And He revealed ahkamat to every Prophet alayhi salam, and even to the final Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now from those ahkamat is that there are certain members of each gender that a person has to keep a distance from, meaning he cannot speak freely with them, he cannot intermingle with them, he can only speak to them if there is a need. And these are famous categories, maharim, ghair maharim. And we should all learn about who are our maharim, those who we can freely conversate with, sit with, discuss things with, look at, and who are our ghair maharim. Now today, the society and the time we live in, Allahu Akbar, so many things are going on, ma'azallah, where people are speaking freely, openly, even offensively, in an unlawful, lewd way to people of the other gender. This is something that we should be mindful of. The Prophet ﷺ once mentioned that zina is of many types, fornication. You could have fornication of the hands, and that is to touch something which is forbidden, ana mahram. Zina of the tongue is to speak in that wrong manner. Zina of the eyes is to look at someone unlawfully. So these are things that we have to take into consideration, and we can't just say everyone's doing it and it's all taking place and we join the bandwagon. No. As a Muslim, there are rules that we have to adhere to. And it is these rules that we adhere to and follow that will lead us to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inshallah paradise as well. So be very careful, learn Islamic knowledge, and inshallah implement it in your lives as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, now we'll go upon the next segment of the show. Inshallah, there's a cartoon which will be played. And then when you come back, inshallah, we'll continue with today's topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz Fatima, girl. Everyone loves her. She is truthful. She struggles the wrong and enjoys the right. Fatima, everyone loves her. She is truthful. She struggles the wrong and enjoys the right. Kaniz Fatima, good girl. Kaniz Fatima.
Now to deliver speech, I invite our talented student from year 3 whose name is Raika.
Oh Allah, please help me today. How would I be able to do this today?
Barira, look at Raika. How confused and nervous she's getting.
Yes, look at her. She's looking very scared and nervous.
You know, it'll be funny when she won't even be able to speak on the mic.
Ariba, Barira, this is not nice. Raika's already confused and nervous. And on top of that, you guys are looking at her and laughing. Because of this, Raika will lose her confidence. And you are hurting her feelings in front of everyone. Our beloved and the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said, "He who hurt a Muslim, he hurt me." So be mindful of this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Raika, what happened? Is everything okay?
Huh?
Raika, what happened?
Is everything okay? Raika, what's wrong?
Sister!
Raika, is everything okay? Why are you so scared?
Sister, because of the dream I saw.
What was it that you saw? What I know is that whatever we keep thinking the whole day, we can see the very same thing in our dream. And we should not get worried because of it. If it is a good dream, then the Holy Prophet ﷺ has stated that we should be happy over it. And if it is a bad dream, then we should seek refuge in Allah from its evil.
Sister, that's pretty much what it is. There's a competition taking place in the school and I have to deliver a speech in it. And I just couldn't deliver the speech in my dream.
Raika, to deliver the speech, all you need is confidence. And you have a lot of confidence. So why are you getting worried then? Come on, go to sleep now. We'll talk about this in the morning.
Okay.
Raika, read Ayatul Kursi. Inshallah, you will fall asleep. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-qayyul qayyum. La ta'khuzuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Man zal ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'iznihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Raika, come down for breakfast.
Yes, yes, I'm coming.
First of all, whilst eating, you should make sure that you chew the food properly. And then you should talk. And you should not make the second morsel until you're still eating the first bite of food.
Sister, after 2 days is my speech in my school.
Okay.
I'm getting really nervous now. I don't know how I'm going to deliver the speech.
Raika, you don't need to get nervous at all. Just try to memorize the topic and learn it properly about which you will deliver the speech.
How would I memorize a speech?
By practicing it again and again. And Raika, the most important thing is that you should have trust upon Allah Almighty and have reliance in Him. Remember this, because when you trust and rely upon Allah Almighty, then you never lose. Allah Almighty has said, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And when you make a firm intention of something, then rely upon Allah. And once you rely upon Allah Almighty, then Allah Almighty states, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And the one who relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Then after that, you should believe in yourself. Then all this will become very easy for you. And even if you make a mistake anywhere, even then you don't need to get worried. Just make sure that you keep your confidence up.
Inshallah, sister.
There you go, Raika. I put your favorite butter and jam on the toast. By eating this, inshallah, you will gain energy.
Yay! Jazakallah, sis.
Straight after the breakfast, start your practice.
Yay! The most important thing in our character is that we should be soft-spoken. Because regarding softness and politeness, the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said that Allah Almighty likes softness in every matter.
Okay, get up now. It's my turn.
I haven't finished taking the swing yet.
Raika, sis. Please tell her to get off now.
I've still got a long time to go.
Sister has come now. Let her decide this now.
Well done, Raika. Allah Almighty will never let your hard work go in vain.
Ameen.
Raika, I brought milk for you. And do you know that the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, also loved the milk?
Jazakallah, sister.
Do you know the dua of after drinking milk?
Yes. Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidana minhu.
Well done. Mashallah.
The most important thing in our character is that we need to be soft-spoken.
Every single one of us should be soft-spoken.
Mashallah, mashallah, Raika. You must be tired. Here, have some juice.
Jazakallah, sister.
Dear children, we will now formally start our speech competition program. And whoever wins the speech competition today will receive a fabulous prize from us. And we also have a wonderful prize for the runners-up and the audience.
Ariba, I was going to sit here.
Why? Is there your name written on this chair?
Ariba, please try to understand. I've got a speech to deliver, so I have to sit at the front.
Ariba, good children don't be naughty and stubborn. Let Raika sit over here. She also has to do her speech. Ariba, this is really bad. What if Raika got hurt or injured?
Sister, she can sit on any other chair as well.
You should not do this. Our beloved and final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, has said, a complete Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand other Muslims remain protected. Now come on, quickly apologize to Raika.
I'm sorry, Raika.
Now to deliver speech in front of you, I invite our talented student Raika from year 3.
Sister, I'm still very nervous.
Raika, be confident and read this dua. Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim lana bil khair.
Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim lana bil khair.
Here, have some juice as well. You'll get some energy from it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To all the kids who are sitting over here, from me, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The topic of my today's speech is softness and patience. Every one of us should be soft-spoken and polite, because the final messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated that Allah Almighty likes softness in every matter.
Wow, mashallah, what a beautiful way of delivering it is.
Yes, that's right.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, our speech competition has come to an end today, and you all must be eagerly waiting to know who the winner is. And the winner for today's speech competition who delivered a wonderful speech is... Raika!
Subhanallah! Yay! I won the competition!
That's great!
Wow!
Good Fatima. Everyone loves her.
Yay!
She strikes the wrong end.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today's topic we discussed regarding the contemplation about the hereafter and how we need to always ask and ponder about the hereafter and how we need to always prepare ourselves for the hereafter. And I mentioned the three states, three things of a person, that a person, he will say that he is the bondman of Allah, but he will not perform action like the bondman of Allah. Rather, he perform action as if he was free. Number two, there'll be people that they'll say that Allah is the one who provides the sustenance, but until they gather the things within the world, their hearts are not satisfied. And this is totally contrary to their statement. And number three, there are people that will say eventually will die, but they perform such actions as if they will never die. And today, certainly our conditions are becoming such that we are trying very hard for gaining the world, but are negligent in thinking about the hereafter. Day and night, we dream of becoming rich, roaming around in flashy cars and implementing the latest fashions, but we forget that one day we are going to die and we'll have to leave this lively world empty-handed. Who amongst us knows when are we going to die? Is this our last night? No one from us can ever guarantee that we will be able to breathe again after this breath. It is possible that this very breath we are taking now is our last and we cannot breathe again. We hear news frequently that so-and-so was perfectly fit and healthy. Apparently, there was no problem with him, but all of a sudden, the heart failed. He became a victim of death and reached the dark grave. To awaken ourselves from heedlessness, let's listen to two parables and inshallah, we'll be able to take some lessons from this. It narrated that a person built a house in an area where flood would come. When he was told that this is a very dangerous place to move away from here, he replied that, "I know this is a dangerous place, but its beauty has made me curious." He was then told that all liveliness and beauty are part of life. Therefore, you must safeguard your life and you must not put yourself in a dangerous position. He replied that, "I will definitely not leave this area." Then one night, whilst he was asleep, a flood came and he got drowned in the flood and died. Number two, an intelligent student of a final year studying at a medical college in Faisalabad in Pakistan. Once he went on a picnic with his friends. Reaching the picnic point, his friend went to the stream to swim, but he started to drown. And this medical student, he jumped into the water in order to save him. He did not know how to swim and hence got into trouble. Fortunately, his friend succeeded in getting out, but this medical student drowned, weeping and crying began, the only hope of parents. Old age became a victim of getting flooded, he drowned in the water. The golden dreams of parents could not come true. The poor intelligent student had entered his grave before the result of his final examinations was announced. Allahu Akbar. This is how short life is, my dear son, brothers and sisters. My dear viewers of Madinah, this is how life is, that we will eventually die one day. We don't know whether after this show or even right now, this might be our last breath. Now, this is the true reality of life. It's not the sad reality of life, it's the true reality of life. This is why we were created. We can say we were created, this is a mission. We were created, now this is our mission in this world to do as many good deeds as possible. And then our final abode, That is where we will receive our results. That is where we will receive our certificate. We will see our grading, you can say. Whether we were that person, that human being, if we were successful, our certificate, our result will be paradise. And our grading will be the more good deeds we do, the higher the ranks we will get in paradise. But if we were not successful in this world, if we were not successful in this dunya, we did not do these good deeds, we were too busy ourselves, lost ourselves in this dunya, in this world, then what will happen? Our final result will be the fire of hell. So we need to always ask ourselves daily regarding these questions, that how are we preparing ourselves for this world, for the afterlife? what are we doing? As a Muslim, what am I doing? What have I done to make myself better? Or what have I done, you can say, what have I done for Islam? When I leave this world, is there a legacy that I've left behind? Is there a certain legacy which I've left behind? Is there a certain thing which I've done for Islam, which when I leave behind will benefit Islam, will be a sadaqah jariyah for myself? And one form of sadaqah jariyah you can do is support your Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami is a world organization, works in across the entire world in different departments. And the amount of work is Dawat Islami does for the work for the Islam, for the religion of Islam is above our imagination. You support your Dawat Islami in whatever way you can. Support your Madani channel. You see the numbers at the bottom. Contact the numbers. Support your Madani channel team. Support our channels. And the cost of running just this Madani channel English just from the UK is just per month is a lot. It's beyond our imaginations. So you can say this, the monthly cost of Madani channel in the UK is probably a person's yearly salary. A yearly salary of an individual, that is the cost of a person's, that is the cost of running Madani channel from the UK per month. So my request is support Dawat Islami, support the religion of Islam in any way possible. And inshallah, you'll see the benefits which you'll gain. Inshallah, now, until tomorrow, inshallah, tomorrow we'll have another unique topic as also. Inshallah, till tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.